Hey y'all, it's Brendan. I use she, her, hers pronouns, and this week we're doing something a little different. But before we get into it, Alyssa, let the people know you're here too.
Hi everyone, Alyssa here. I use she, her, hers pronouns. We are doing something different. So
what's up? We're tired, right? We're tired.
We are
both grinding it out as far as getting through our programs. We thought that we would be able to come back in April, refreshed, renewed. But honestly, we've all been working too hard through this pandemic. So we decided we would lessen the stakes for ourselves, give ourselves some grace, but, you know, still give ourselves some time to talk shit. So that's what we're about to do.
Absolutely. And we highly encourage you all to do the same yourself. We give you permission. We give you permission to do the same. Take something off of your plate.
Please, please do. Because look, don't kill yourself faster. But that's not the hot take for today. So before we get started with all of our hot takes of the week, we have two exciting announcements. First one being that we will be hosting another end of the year roundtable in the first week of May.
Pew, 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 woo, pew. Woo, woo. Hey, it's going. We booked our speakers. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. y'all are going to get some spoken word. Y'all are going to get some other spoken words. But we're going to be talking about Zara ancestral imagination. It's going to be the fuck lit. Last year's roundtable, Practicing Zora, was an important conversation featuring scholars and artists from different disciplines. And this year, we most certainly will not disappoint. So stay tuned for details. We'll have it out on IG and Twitter like we normally do for everyone to sign up. And secondly, we will be hosting our final discussion section later on in May, where you'll be able to chat with Alyssa and me and other parts of the ZD community, other folks. Our last one was really fun. We got to know some folks, and we're actually going to be hanging out with one of the attendees in his class in a couple of weeks. So that's exciting. But yeah, come on down, spend some time with us. This will be our last one. So
yeah.
We'll have to do something fun.
Yeah, and details about, you know, how we're closing up shop, what we're going to keep open, you know, will be coming soon. But definitely, please do join us. When we tell you all, when we share the date with you, sign up, please come, please meet with us. You know, let us know how ZD has impacted your lives, because we want to let you all know how much your listenership, your support has impacted ours, because it has made a huge difference to both of us. It has gotten us through these last 3 years of this pandemic. So we definitely want you all there. But let's get into it. Brendan, what's your hot take of the week?
Jeez. I mean, yo. Just want to understand, will all the real Black feminists please come forward?
Please stand up.
What's going on here? I thought that we were for the freedom of Black girls. I thought we were for the freedom of Black women. I thought we were for the freedom of Black trans people, Black femmes. Why are y'all out here on the internet telling someone that they need to accept an apology that was probably not a real apology? Well, anyway, real or not, why are we telling Angel Reese that she needs to accept something from Jillian Beaton? Okay, why are we doing this? Okay, why are we acting like anything that Jillian Beaton has to say could make up for the vitriol and hate and quote-unquote disciplining behavior that we saw from Black and white people towards Angel Reese? Y'all are over here acting like ghetto girls can't win. Or is that something that you would like to tell yourself because you have pushed aside all of those wayward pieces of yourself to fit into a certain kind of mode of what you think is acceptable?
Right. The respectability politics runs deep.
Runs too fucking deep. And it's like,
people spend their careers, they spend their lives on the internet talking about how they're Black feminists, they're for the freedom of Black women and girls and trans people. But then when it comes down to it, they show us that they're only down for certain Black girls, for certain Black women, for certain Black trans people, if they even say anything about trans women.
So ghetto girls can't win either. Ghetto girls don't deserve good things too. Right? Are Black people only free when they get to be white? These are all things that came across my mind when I was on the Twitter, like the dog app. It's no longer the bird app, it's the dog app. At least it was for a couple days. And I was just like, wait, what's happening here?
I kept checking back to see what was happening.
With the dog or with...
Yeah, I was like, is there still a dog on Twitter or not?
It's like between the dog, it was like the dog, all the discourse around, you know, well, her behavior is not ghetto. You're just racist. And it's like, okay, well, what about the people who are in fact ghetto? And she did not deny her ghetto-ness. She's from the ghettoest place on earth, Baltimore, Maryland, the ghetto streets of Baltimore. And there's literally, what's wrong with the ghetto, right, is that white supremacy and anti-Blackness and the way it operates through systems and concentrates resources, right? That's what's wrong with the ghetto. It's not the people in it. It's the lack of access to resources. But when y'all try to act like deviant Black people deserve the next to nothing that they already have, the next to nothing that you're just maybe two or three steps removed from, it gets a little nasty for me. I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is went from the bird app to the dog app. Like y'all, the whistles are blowing, and it's not looking good for us on the Black feminist side of things.
And I think that the whole she should accept her apology and she should go to the White House and just be grateful for having been invited and all of that kind of stuff, I think speaks to the way that Black folks are still looking for white acceptance. They want to be accepted by white people, and Jill Biden and the White House is
Jillian. I don't even know if that's a real name.
I'm sure it is. She and the White House are seen, the White House are seen as the pinnacle of that.
But literally the White House built by enslaved folks, the pinnacle. But you know what? When I tell you, I couldn't tell you nothing else besides Angel Reese's name. I don't watch sports. You all, if you don't know me, well, now you know. Sports, it's like really any kind of sport. If house hunting is a sport, that's what I'm watching. Like, I don't know sports. I don't get it. And I have political reasons for that too, but I won't share. I won't share those. But,
I have an idea, but
oh,
I think
you know my anti-nationalist stance on everything.
Well, oh no, I thought it was the sports or the plantation. I thought that
that's a part of it.
Okay, what is the anti-nationalism thing?
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, entertainment writ large, right, is just a distraction from capitalist conditions, right? Like it's something to distract ourselves from the fact that our water, our food, and the people who lord our resources over us are slowly killing all of us. So I see sports as like a jingoist nationalist project to distract people from the realities of their lives and conditions. But that's like low level.
I think I think that's a really good point. That was pretty much one of the first things that came back in the pandemic. It was like, how can we get sports back on so that all of these people who are stuck at home, who are unemployed, whose family members are dying, who are trying to avoid inevitable death themselves, can be entertained and distracted from all of the things that we're not doing. You know, it was like, how can we get the Olympics on? How can we get the NBA back on the court?
But I mean, on the field.
This is from
plantation.
Like a life.
This is the exactly. Plantation on the field.
I said, so my partner and I, we both go to the university gym now. So we said, let's warm up and play basketball. I haven't played basketball in 12 years or something like that. And then I went to PT a couple days later and I was like, I did not score one goal. And he was like, goal. I don't think that's the language for basketball. And I was like, you know what? I don't remember. I do not.
No, why not create a universal universal language?
All right, we're getting off topic, I think that we should be wary of people who profess to have certain values and then abandon them when the person does not, when the person, how should I say this? When a person doesn't look or act the way that they think that they should. Yes. We should be very wary of people.
Like we should be.
That.
And
we should be wary of everybody. Y'all should be wary of us.
Please. No one is a hero and no one is perfect. And exactly. We do have scholarly folks who've modeled, right, a kind of respectability politics to us. And so, yeah, if you all are saying the same things that W.E.B. Du Bois would say about Black women who grew up in the ghetto, but just repackaging it today, like, you have to think about these things. Like, how are we going to achieve liberation for all Black folks? And we're still measuring ourselves up to a white standard of quote unquote appropriate behavior. Mm-hmm. And we can't continue to use the whole, well, if we don't do it to our kids, then they're going to go out into the outside world and do it. And it's like, if there's one thing that we should be able to do as a Black feminist community is be a safe space for each other. And every day I'm learning more and more about how that seems to feel like such hard work. Community feels like such hard work. And I think it's much easier to just be anti-Black than it is to have a commitment to all Black people. Like, it's so much easier to just be like, actually, nah. Mm-mm.
So if you want to hear more, so this is one of the reasons that we've been finding it so hard to do these episodes is one of the reasons is that we always end up being self-referential. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that we've said everything or we've talked about everything that there is to talk about. It is a reflection of how much these issues are on repeat, these things. Deborah Thomas, looping temporalities, right? Like these things, they come around, they go around. So if you want some more information on respectability, we did that in episode 2, season 1. If you want to hear us talk about Black girls, Black girl magic, and Black girl ordinary, we did that in the Jingle Jangle episode, which is not coming to me at this moment.
I think it was episode 10 of season 1.
Season 1?
I think so.
For season 2.
Jingle Jangle. That was
Jingle
something.
Jangle. That was a good episode. That was a fun episode. It's not one of our most popular, but it was a fun episode. Gosh. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ready
season
for
season 1, episode 10.
Wonderful.
I am very ready to hear this.
Ready to hear my hot take. All right. I have one and a half hot takes, really. I think this first main part will lead into one of the things I wanted to talk about. It starts with Married at First Sight. This is a TV show where couples are matched and married sight unseen. It's not like Love is Blind. They're matched by quote unquote experts, and then they get
Oof.
married. And then they get married the first time that they see the person. So it's kind of like an arranged marriage. And then immediately after, they go on their honeymoons. So in this season, I believe that there are three white women, two black women. The three white women, I want to say, and one of the black women are what we might, typically call thick. They were all talking about how they're thick, and specifically the white women, they were like, oh yeah, I'm thick and it's great and blah, blah, blah. Turns out two of their husbands, when they were asked by the producers, what do you think about your wife? Do you find her attractive? Whatever. Two of them said, oh, well, she's a bit thicker than I would normally date. This turned into a huge uproar. Everyone got upset. And they're like, I can't believe that you would say that. Why would you call her that? Why would you say something like that about your wife? Bracketing off the thicker than the women I would usually date part, the usually would date thing. Okay, fine. I get that that part would be hurtful. But it was the attention to thick that I found particularly interesting. Because one of the husbands said, but you call yourself thick. So I don't understand why me using that term to describe you would be a bad thing. And so this was Nicole and Chris, if there are anyone out there who does watch Married at First Sight. Nicole was like, Chris, you should not call me thick. And he's like, but you call yourself that. And she says, no, you still can't call me that. And what I thought was, this is a perfect example of what's wrong, of one of the many things that is wrong with appropriating black shit. Because one, you don't even know what it means. You don't really know what it means if you think that it's offensive. And two, it's not your culture to be that. Because for us, getting called thick is a compliment. So you appropriated this compliment. You made it a term of empowerment for white women who don't fit Eurocentric body standards of beauty. And then when someone calls you that, it's offensive because you know that it's associated with blackness. So you
Make it
took this
make sense.
culture out of context. And then as soon as someone calls you that, and you're like, oh shit, people are starting to think I'm black. I'm a little bit too black. Now it's offensive. Now it's a problem. Which leads into the other thing I want to talk about, which was the Vanilla Girl aesthetic
The
conversation from this
comeback.
podcast called It's Been a Minute with Brittany Luce, who used to be on for Colored Nerds. And she interviewed a journalist who was talking about the Vanilla Girl aesthetic and how this very white, I mean, vanilla, how this very white aesthetic that's becoming more and more popular, the vanilla, the clean girl, the ballet core, the cottage core, all of these kinds of aesthetics that become popular on TikTok, are taking over. And her hypothesis is that this is a way for white women who are right now being blamed and being recognized as agents of white supremacist violence are using to reclaim their power, using soft power. Brendan did not seem to agree with this when we were talking about it earlier.
I'm still trying to I'm trying to make sense of it because this whole like the idea of soft power in and of itself doesn't make sense to me. When did and like what are white women reclaiming? Like, y'all already had the power. I can see them reclaiming a certain kind of, not even reclaiming, but further entrenching themselves in a kind, in a certain kind of protection, right? That they already lay claim to, right? A certain kind of victimhood. But white women have not lost anything. And so that's why I think that's why I'm like, what is soft power? Y'all did not lose any power. If anything, the Karen thing was just people recognizing that white women can be violent too, right? And they hide behind the identity of woman in their violence, but they haven't lost, like, I don't know, just they haven't lost anything. Now, I do think that for me, this, I tell Alyssa this all the time. And so those of you who don't talk to me regularly, y'all don't know that I regularly be like coming up with conspiracy theories. And so just, you know, but I don't really ever be wrong. Right. So I just want to put that out there. And I said this in 2020, I said, y'all, we're about to see a reversion to a certain kind of whiteness that's reminiscent of the early, you know, 20th century, 1920s, because for those people who aren't keeping up with history, we had a pandemic 100 years ago called the Spanish flu pandemic that they blamed on the Spanish to do certain kind of imperialist things, but I'm not going to go there, right? But then after that, in the 1920s, so when they had those series of quote-unquote race riots. And so all of this quote-unquote uptick in white supremacist violence actually has a history. And I need people to like sit with the fact that this is just a repeat of what's happened.
It's a looping temporality.
It's a looping temporality, and it's one in which I'm, you know, there were thousands of known Black lives lost then, right? But all of these mass shootings and all these other things are not happening by accident, right? But I have my own theories around that. All of that to say, white women, I believe, are going back to quote unquote natural whiteness, taking out their butt implants, doing what they need to do to not have the BBL body anymore, because now more than ever, it's much more important to recognize by sight who is white and who is not. And so this isn't an attempt to escape violence. It's an attempt to escape the onslaught of violence that we all know is coming. So
I can confirm Brendan has been saying this for years. She's been saying it.
I have.
And now we're seeing it. We're seeing all of these celebrities taking Ozempic or other off-label uses for diabetes medication to lose weight. Kim Kardashian is now looking to Marilyn Monroe for inspiration.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you know, this was fun. I mean, that's part and parcel of what it means to be white, right? You get to try on different racial and ethnic identities and even body forms, even quite literally, right? With these white women literally changing the color of their skin, literally getting artificial things implanted in them, right? But all of that to still prove a kind of superiority to Blackness and to Black women. And now it's just the, oh, wait, we know what's coming. We know what's up. The fascist regime is here. And they need to be able to quickly identify who needs to be on the train to the, I'm not even going to finish that metaphor, who needs to be on the side of the government and who needs to be oppressed in a particular kind of way. And this is what we're witnessing. So that's why I'm just like, soft power, I think that's cute, but that's not actually contending with the violence that is like circumscribing our time right now. Sure, whatever. And all these things that people try to couch what white women do as if it's not as harmful as what anybody else does.
Soft power is still wielding power.
It's still power.
It's power over. So it's not like, oh, because you have influenced me using traditional values rather than coercing me, it doesn't make it any less of a power play. It doesn't make it any less hegemonic, right? Like, mm-mm. It doesn't make it any less violent. It just means that some people don't feel it as strongly while it's happening. It's like not as acutely felt. It's like you've charmed me into letting you have power or whatever. Like
that, yeah. And that's like the connotation that it gives. And I was just trying to find this picture someone posted on Twitter where someone was talking about literally this, like white women and their role in white supremacist violence. And this is a picture of white women at the KKK rallies in the garments. And it's like, don't forget for a second that white women are an active agent of white supremacist violence and power. And yeah, so, okay, girl, soft power, because why do white men get to have hard power? I don't know. You white feminists, y'all figure this shit out. I'm done.
I think the author is an Asian woman. And in the article talk about in the podcast, she kind of unpacks the way that white women are now co-opting East Asian culture, starting with these beauty trends and things like that. And actually, I think she takes it back even further than that to say, like, this is what Japan was doing after the war, is they started exporting like comics and music and manga or whatever the stuff was that she was talking about.
Oh, anime?
Yeah, they start exporting things like that to not seem threatening, but to still like maintain their position in the consciousness of Americans who were very anti-Asian and anti-Japan, particularly post-World War II.
That's interesting.
And so white women are fetishizing this like idea of the hyper-feminine trad wife East Asian women, which then also plays up on particular stereotypes about what East Asian women are like. But yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. Brendan knows what happens. Listen to Brendan.
Look, let's not look. I mean, I think Octavia Butler already laid it out for us pretty clearly, where we're going just by looking at where we've been. And the conversations I've just been having with folks have been about, what are we doing to prepare ourselves for the end that is inevitable? Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, voting and all the things, you know, sure. But what I also said when we voted Biden in was that we were going to see one of the largest increases in police and military power underneath Biden's reign. I'm going to say rain. I'm using rain intentionally. And that would have only been possible under a Democratic president. And so now we're perfectly positioned for a coup. That's all I'm going to say. So we're perfectly positioned for a coup. The police can do what they want. The military can do what they want, except recruit people, because apparently... Sorry, I don't know why I just got so much joy out of the fact that apparently the youth of this nation are too depressed, too substance dependent, and too quote unquote overweight to join the military. So capitalism
worked too well.
It's doing its thing. I should have thought about it for just kidding.
They didn't see that one happen.
They didn't see that one coming.
They didn't see that coming. Damn.
So now they're like, wow, we can't get people to join the military. Police departments around the country are trying to recruit folks to join them. I saw a flyer to join Baltimore Police Department the other day. We have to prepare ourselves. Academics who think your job is secure, they already got anti-tenure bills popping up in states. So y'all thought they was just gonna stop with trans people, but no, they are coming
They're
for
coming
all
for
of us.
all of us.
Are we ready? Are
Well,
we
on
ready?
that note, that's our bonus episode. I don't know what this is. We just came here
I
to
know
talk. This was
we
supposed
just
to
came
be
here to talk, y'all.
short. This was supposed to be for Instagram. This was supposed to be for
We'll have to
real.
clip it.
I'm not clipping Nathan.
Mia, clip it. We'll clip it.
All right, y'all. Well, that is our little bonus chat mini episode of the month, week. Who knows? We'll find out in a couple of weeks. Please
We'll
stay
find out.
tuned for all of our upcoming events. We have our roundtable in the first week of May, and then we will be having our final farewell discussion section in the middle of May. So please stay tuned.
All right. And remember, we must always take care of ourselves and each other. Bye.
Deuces. Deuce, deuces.
Do say, Jillian, be done, be done.